When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Well, good morning, New Jersey. It is Thursday, October the 8th. It's the Jim Gerhardt Podcast. I'm Bob Williams. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Jim Gerhardt, it's quite a week, and we've
well,
got
good morning.
To talk about today.
It is quite a week. You know, I've discovered you have to go a little bit demented or insane in order to just grasp what's going on in the world. As a sane person, you don't know where to start. I want to start like our gentleman of the cloth with a glance at the text. And the text this morning would be from the first book of John Cleese. And I love this that he had written. And this is from an Englishman's perspective of what's going on. It's short, won't be long. John Cleese says, in light of your failure, this is to the American people, in light of your failure to nominate competent candidates for president of the United States, and thus govern yourselves, we hereby give notice of the revocation of your independence, effective immediately. Her Sovereign Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, will resume monarchical duties over all states, commonwealths, and territories, except Arkansas, which she does not fancy. Now, here, this one I love. Congress and the Senate will be disbanded. A questionnaire will be circulated next year to determine whether anybody noticed. Well, it goes on. It's beautiful, just kind of a gentle criticism of some of the foibles that an Englishman would notice in the culture here. But this one I got to throw in. He said, using the American vocabulary of some 27 words, interspiced with filler noise like, and you know, and nona mean, that is unacceptable. You can look that up. I suggest you do. I think you'll get a big kick out of that.
You mentioned at the top here on the Facebook live feed that you turned off the last night's vice presidential debate after just about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And yeah. You just came to the conclusion that there's only one issue here.
Yeah, I literally, no kidding, I really began to be ill watching that because I could see what was coming and what was going down. I couldn't swear to it, but all indications were that I was correct. You get one issue. The issue itself does not come up as an issue because what's going on here, you can see the Democratic Party has based its entire campaign on what I think of as a viral smokescreen.
Right.
And that is using the virus to becloud all the other issues. And you noticed last night that no matter what happened, they got back to this. This was the party line. Donald Trump blew the virus. And as they kept, as the vice presidential candidate, Mrs. Harris, kept saying, created the biggest crime in American history. Well, this of course, is something that can't be proved. So they can throw it out there. And it's the old principle that if you tell a big enough lie, tell it long enough and loud enough, everybody will start believing it. But what becomes very evident is their complete contempt for the American people, for the voters, believing that we are dumb enough to buy this and not see through that.
Right.
See what is behind the screen. So what they have done, they have blocked out and totally, again, a smokescreen is a perfect symbol of it. They have sort of covered over the interest in the actual principles involved in the two parties. Now, I had gone into this. I think one of the reasons I got sick was self-deception. I was in denial of reality. And I thought, okay, here are two intelligent people. They are not either one known for any ranting, screaming, or the like. And so I will see a discussion here of the high points of the Democratic Party's platform, if you want, or their agenda, which is pretty much to the left, socialism, and of the other side, the Republican, the conservative side, if you want.
Right.
But we've got none of that. Mm-hmm. No matter what question the moderator asked, they were both like Chatty Cathy dolls. You pull the string in the back and it comes out Donald Trump has caused all the, he caused the virus.
Right.
And of course, this plays in with the Chinese version of it too, which I'll get to in a moment.
Right.
But that's a collateral bit of collateral damage, because the Democrats obfuscating everything else and hiding really behind this curtain of Donald Trump caused all of our problems, that the Chinese are out of the picture now as starting this.
Well,
because now all Americans are Donald Trump started it. So
I'll tell you, you hit on probably the catchphrase of this month, because I think you just revealed the Democratic strategy for the election. Viral mm-hmm. smokescreen. I mean, everything yes. is because of the virus. Mm-hmm. What about, I mean, and the questions last night, the moderator did a better job than Chris Wallace. I mean, she kept more control of the thing. But for God's sakes, her questions just stunk. I mean, it really, they weren't probing questions about what will be for the next 4 years. It basically just hit on, talking points for either party and an opportunity yep. for the party to attack the other party. And I just found it totally useless. And to your point, viral smokescreen, if no one else has used that, Jim, you should really, trademark that phrase, because that is what is going on here. And, you know, we're what, 20 something days before the election. I hope it's not too late for people to realize that is yeah. what's going on. We are being bamboozled. It's taking away from what the actual agenda is. We know what Trump and the Republican Party's agenda is, has been for the last 4 years. And we look to, probably more of the same. So if you're good with that, you're good with that. But we don't know what the hell the other party is wanting to do. And they're just blaming, oh, this guy did a horrible job on this. Yeah. He's this. He's racist, blah, blah, blah. How about what you're going to do for us, friends? How about what you're going to do for me?
It's so transparently obvious. I think one thing that I did get to hear the vice president say, that Mrs. Harris was pushing all the Democrats, we have this plan, and Trump didn't have a plan. Well, their plan is exactly what Trump did, pretty
right.
much. It's all a lie.
Right.
Is what we're getting here. And you talk about that. You mentioned that I had said in a promo that there was one issue.
Right.
This gets a little bit of field, but basically, there's only one issue in this campaign. You can throw ideology out. You can throw the cultural matters out. You can throw out the justice and everything. One thing, the only issue here is Donald Trump. It really is. It's Donald J. Trump. And I think most voters at this point have their mind made up, or had it made up. I don't know how you would shake anybody out of their rock-ribbed, solid opinion.
Right.
But that's it. You love Donald Trump or you hate Donald Trump. And each side is pushing pretty much that. This is what I meant by the fact that there's one real issue. I don't think Americans are paying any attention to the other stuff. That's why they don't see through the smokescreen.
Yeah.
This has become kind of an emotional thing. You love Donald Trump or you hate Donald Trump.
Are you surprised at the hatred about the president's illness, yeah. about the other side? I mean, there were some radical, just disgusting tweets and posts. The one yeah. a person who was involved in the Obama administration and Clinton's campaign back in 2016 said, I hope he dies. Just disgusting. Well,
This is how far that we have gone. Even the moderator, and this was the last act that I saw before I turned the TV off, she had asked a question. It was immediately following their speeches about the coronavirus. And she said to the vice president, and this is the moderator, well, we all know that Donald Trump lied about his ballot. Well, what? Come on. That's a judgment you made. This reminded me. This comes from the left, of course. This is stock stuff. Joseph Stalin had this trick when he was the czar of all the Russias. Joseph Stalin would start off by saying in a speech the most absurd thing, but he'd always start off by saying, as everybody knows.
Right.
You start off with the assumption that anything he says is right. So if he comes on and says, as everybody knows, the sun comes up in the west. Then everybody, oh, yeah, I really, he's right. I hadn't noticed that. Of course, you could also get sent to the gulag if you didn't agree with him. But this is what they do. And this gets in. I'll jump a little bit here because one thought brings up another. My proof to me that the Chinese started this virus on purpose. I think really it was sort of a, what would you call it, a trial run. I don't believe that they knew at the time when they were doing it and released it that it was going to be as virulent as it was. But I think this was kind of a test run because you got 16 different strains of flu every year. So we'll throw in one more and see how this one works. The reason I think that, and this is not proof that would hold up in court, but my view is the reason I think they did it on purpose is because right off the bat, when it became a worldwide crisis, the Chinese immediately blamed it on America. Now, you will notice that this is something that's used not only by every leftist, communist, radical, kind of a totalitarian regimes of all sorts. Right off the bat, anything they do that didn't work, that they caught doing, they blame on the victim.
Yes.
It's a knee-jerk thing. Blame the victim. Blame the victim. And, of course, one of the most glaring examples of that here, sort of in a small view, is this Antifa or anti-fascist group who are fascists. And so if you're performing fascistic activity, then you're going to blame your victim. And this is what they do. And the assumption is made, and this really bothers me, that the American public is stupid enough to buy this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of evidence that that's the case.
Right.
But anyway, I think the debates are totally irrelevant right now. I think it doesn't matter who says what. Because people seem to be pretty well committed, but they're committed not based on some point of doctrine or proposal for the party or political ideology.
Right.
It's based on their response to the person of Donald J. Trump. So I think this is somewhat unprecedented. So where it goes, I don't know. Oh, a couple of things. Talking about how far this stuff can go in the media,
Which
we know what 93%, I think, by somebody's survey of the media is left and supporting the Democratic cause. They had before the debate last night. Yeah, before the debate, Fox News had a panel of their people, and they were giving their final parting comments about the debate. And I noticed that one of their regulars, Juan Williams, who was the sort of the House token Democrat.
He's the opposing opinion on that network.
And sometimes he's quite good. I've often, had respect for him. I certainly did before he got involved in his partisan politics. He was, in my view, was an outstanding journalist. Now, of course, he's a propagandist. Everybody, left and right, they've all become propagandists now. But his parting remark was, and I don't know how many people caught this, but you talk about a Freudian slip. They're all supposed to be independent, right? Candidates right now. We're looking forward to the debate. We haven't made up our mind, sure. But he said, in one phrase, he said, now, this was his last comment on the election. He said, it'll all depend on if the conservatives, the president wins, or the Democrats win. But he definitely said that the conservatives, the Republicans, or if we win. If the Democrats win.
Yeah.
So, and another thing, while I'm on this subject here, you can see I've got a lot of stuff rattling around in the head this morning. This again was CBS. I was watching, I believe it was Monday night, wasn't it, that the president got out of the hospital and flew back to the White House?
Yes, Monday night. Yep.
It's kind of irrelevant, but I was tuning into a football game and CBS was carrying the football game. And before that, I tuned in a little early. They didn't have a pregame football show, but they had an on-scene news special of Donald Trump. They were there when he got out of the hospital. They were filming it. They were talking. They had to fill quite a bit of time because he didn't come out for a while. He was slow. And there were many, many occasions to mention the president. The reporter they had there never once in all of that time, and all of these dozens and dozens of references to Trump and the president, never used the name Trump. Never said President Trump. Never said Donald Trump. Never said Trump. Every time it was this president. This president is coming out the door. This president is coming across. This president is getting on the head. And this president said this and this and that. Never did it. Never mentioned the name. Now, anybody, you don't have to be a Freud to figure this one out, the prejudice here. Because anybody who ever was concerned with any kind of, well, say family counseling or people, marriage counseling or relationship counseling, recognizes right off the bat who is holding, suppressing the anger. It's the one who would not use the name of the other party.
Right.
Who said he does this, she does this. They do. Never says Mary did it or Charlie did it or young Thaddeus. It's his fault. It's always the pronoun. And so therefore, in a sense, you're killing the person in your mind. You are removing that person. You're denying the person's existence. And that I thought was a great example, the objective correlative of this right view and why this thing is so emotional and just totally filled with hate.
Do you think that a lot of these reporters and professionals in the industry realize that they have allowed their perspective to be so one-sided because of their personal feelings for the person? Do they realize that they are really clouding their professional performances here? I'm looking at some of these.
Journalists, like nowadays, like politicians, their major thing on their agenda is their career. And you are going to enhance your career by joining this. In other words, it's like a fellowship. And nobody wants to stand outside that.
Right.
It's like in the meteorological community, all meteorologists play in media for other meteorologists.
Right.
And they live in dread of making a bad forecast.
Because I think we've made this analogy before, but, you know, the great Walter Cronkite. You didn't know that he was very liberal in his political views until after he was retired. When he was in the air, he gave you right down the middle there. He gave you the facts, the objective. And there was never any opinion in the news. Now you're getting news with facts intertwined with opinion, commentary, anything that's going to just take away from what is factual. And it's very, very deceiving, and it's very, very sad that people are buying this, by and large, as factual news, and then their opinions are shaped this way. It's just horrible, Jim.
Yeah, well, it is horrible, and of course that's the way it is. They toe the line that the news organization has set, and this is how you maintain your livelihood. But I think what happens is it becomes a mindset that is of the word I want to use. It is approved by, accepted by all of your peers. And this is it. It's like you're crawling into the tent with everybody else and you have to stay there, because if you don't, then you're something of an outcast and everything is in jeopardy. But so, no, I think they are not aware of it. They are totally convinced. The left, that's one of the hallmarks of this radical left in this country. They are so right in their own mind that it is criminal, it is ungodly to think anything other, in any way other than that in which, where they think. Well, you've seen that. You see that all the time. In fact, there's a term for it. I don't recall the term, but there is one going now that says that establishes the fact that either you believe what we believe or you will be annihilated one way or the other.
And to illustrate the point a little bit more about opinion manipulation, talking about the Get Out the Vote campaign, which has always been big through presidential election years, going way back, Rock the Vote. Make sure you're registered to vote. If you don't, you don't have a voice. But it's really gone to the next level here, Jim, and it's kind of frightening. Even my son, Brendan, who's a big sports guy, he noticed, he came to me, he said, "Dad, I am seeing so many of these voting commercials vote by these sports celebrities, these sports, these superstar athletes. They're doing these they're doing these commercials, and they're basically saying, make sure you register to vote. If you don't vote, we won't be heard. We won't get what we want," mm-hmm. which is even a step further. So it basically just answers the question, get out and vote. And then the vote for who? They're basically telling us.
And I haven't seen this because I have absolutely no interest in professional basketball, but and nothing to do with politics, my lack of interest in it. I'm just not, never have been. But from what I read, what I hear, the entire of the National Basketball Association, players, everybody involved in it, broadcasters, are taking a very, very hard left, radical left view.
Right.
And of course, damning the administration. What I don't understand is how the lowest paid player in the National Basketball Association lives better than the most powerful king during the age.
Yes, right.
Absolutely lives better. And yet he wants to tear down the system that got him that. It makes no sense. It's like a madness has come over people.
Yeah.
So, but
to get out the vote, I mean, no one needs to tell me to vote. I've been voting since I've been 18. I voted on almost every election. No one needed to tell me. My civic duty is to go out and vote. Now, who I vote for is my business. It's everybody's personal business on who they vote for. That's what makes this country great. But the manipulation that's been going on this election cycle and the previous couple, get out and vote. Vote for who? Because these messages are very, very jaded, and it's really just clouding people's objective judgment to make their own decision. This groupthink thing is over the top, and it's just manipulating people's opinions, and it's just gotten to the point where people are going to wake up and say, why did I do that? Why did I vote for that person? It's not what I thought I was voting for.
The funny thing is, they'll wake up and say, why didn't somebody tell me this was coming?
Right.
Well, there's all kind of information out there about how it's coming. You know, another thing that's going on, and yesterday we found out this couple named McCloskey in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, the couple that were defending their home during the mob.
From a mob.
Yeah.
They were indicted by a grand jury
for
firearms violations. I mean, it was serious jail time stuff. Also from intimidating witnesses or tampering with witnesses.
Right.
But they didn't tell them who they're supposed to have tampered with. They didn't give them any information about it. And matter of fact, they were in the courthouse, as I understand it, or have read, when the indictment, they were waiting for to see whether there was an indictment or not. They did not know. They had sort of assumed that this would be thrown out, which of course it wasn't. They got a call while they were standing there on their phone from their daughter clear across the country, saying, oh, this is terrible. You were indicted. They said, well, we haven't been told that yet. Oh, said, oh, yeah, it's in all the media. And so they leaked it on purpose. But here is the point. And who would ever have foreseen this in this country? That here is a couple trying to defend their home. And if you see some of the clips about it and see what went on, there was a threat. These people had passed three signs that said private property, no trespassing. They were not charged with trespassing or anything. They were not charged. The mob was not charged with anything. They came out because a gate had been broken down. They'd stormed the place. They were standing out there yelling threats. And like they were pointing to their house. In other words, they're saying, we're taking over the house. They told them, we're taking over the house.
Yeah.
Pointing up to bedrooms. This is where we will sleep tonight. This is where I will sleep. This is how I'm going to rape the wife. This is what, and horrible, terrible stuff. Well, if somebody said came into your yard and said that they were going to take over your house,
you do the same thing.
Pretty much believe them if it's an angry mob, some of whom are armed, and you try to defend it. But no, you're not allowed to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
So how in the world, somebody had said, one of the reporters, I think Mr. McCloskey is an attorney. And I believe he said that. I saw him say it, that the district attorney is one of these that have been bought and put into office by George Soros.
Oh, yeah. She's a political hack. Absolutely. She is not
one of George Soros's underhanded plans to undermine the government is to buy local prosecuting attorneys. That's a subtle good plan.
Jim, why hasn't anybody ever gone after Soros or that type of person who is funding or has been rumored to be funding many of these movements to cause anarchy and to cause unrest? And
his career has been destabilizing governments. That's been his thing. And he's done that in Europe and several countries. And of course, he's trying to do it here. I don't know what's behind his hatred of it. I saw an interview one time, and I don't push this as being the case, but the person doing the interviewing talked with Soros and some of the things he said, and he said, you know, someone could make a case that you're the devil, you're satanic in these things that you're doing. Soros was delighted, and he says, yes, that's what I am. But he's not touched because I suppose that he fits within the agenda of the left, which would be the media and the political establishment. And he's also one of these hugely wealthy people who seem to have some kind of a club of their own. This is why I think I mentioned this, but I think it's a very interesting question. It's a hell of a good question. Why are these super rich capitalists? Capitalists. Why are they supporting a socialistic, communistic form of government? Why? Because you would think they would be running from it, but they are supporting this and they're in this league with it. Because if you have a socialistic, communistic government, that is the end of capitalism. That is the end of you. The government will take over your business. The giants of the internet, the Wall Street people and all. What is the deal? Who has made the deal with the devil? Somebody has made a deal with the devil back there somewhere, because this makes absolutely no sense.
But it just boggles my mind that his behavior wouldn't be on the borderline of treasonous against the government to up. If he's a citizen of this country, why wouldn't he be brought up on charges?
If you're trying to undermine the economy of a country, yes, that's treasonous. What is the absolute highest crime you can commit against the government? It is messing with the currency.
So Lou says we got to start wrapping up here. I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention, Jim, I just discovered this great documentary I mentioned to you earlier in the week, Netflix, The Social Dilemma, which is, it seems like it's been out this year. I highly recommend that everybody watch it, because it really details the documents on how social media, all platforms, are mining your information more extensively than you would think. It is just mind-boggling and really eye-opening. I know you had seen it, and I am just amazed by it and really just floored. I would recommend everybody check it out, The Social Dilemma.
Also, there's another one, too. I watched that one twice. There's one called The Great Hack. I watched that, too, because it's very... I got just one more thing. I got an email here just moments before we started. An email from Facebook, you know, the things they sent out. And it says, now, the best of anti-Trump groups and suggestions for new Trump anti-Trump groups.
What?
Best, you go there and you get they're directing you to the best of the anti-Trump groups. Now, nobody said the pro-Trump groups or anything. I mean, this is how blatant and out in the open this is. What the hell is going on? I will leave this with one quote. I don't know who made it, but I heard it some time ago. A person says, I shudder for my country when I reflect that God is just. Have a nice week, everybody.
Don't forget viral smokescreen. Don't be clouded by the viral smokescreen that's being shown at you these days. All right. Have a great week. We'll be back here on the 15th. Take care and enjoy. Thank you.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast. Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.